Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Welcome to Gospel Rain Podcast. We're glad that you joined us again today as we continue our discussions in a gospel-centered framework around things that matter, life and ministry. And as a couple of pastors just looking at things from our vantage point, it's a joy to spend a few minutes just adding to the conversation of our churches and what folks are really thinking about in our pews. And so we're glad that you joined us as well. And today we'd like to kind of lean into a subject that, Matt, you and I hear about all the time. People ask us specific questions about this issue, and that is how to have a quiet time. And why? And so, you know, our church members try to encourage them to spend time with the Lord.
Right.
And one of the things that comes up is like, well, I don't really know how to do that. Can you help me figure out how to do that? Obviously, they desire to be with Him, to fellowship with Him, but they might not be familiar. Are there things I should be doing? Are there things I'm leaving out? I mean, what is it that's going to help me at the end of the day have a kind of a clean conscience about I've actually spent time with God today? Are there things that help me do that better? And so today let's talk about some practical things that might help our folks and our listeners know how to have what we call a quiet time. And so let's show why this is even something that's important for us if we deal. So why, let's start us off today, Matt, why have a quiet time?
Well, I think you said it to begin with. It's giving God attention. It's spending time with Him, giving Him your undivided attention. It gives us an opportunity to talk to Him, gives us an opportunity to hear from Him as He talks to us, which is, if we are people of God, we love Him, and we believe in Him, then we want to hear from Him. In particular, if we believe that the Bible is His revelation of Himself, then that's the way we're going to know Him. And so that gives us a chance to spend time with Him. We're not going to know Him outside of that. And so we want to sit down with Him and give Him our undivided attention, if at all possible. So, you know, some people have said that a quiet time can be a divine appointment. It's an appointment to sit with God, sit with Him alone. It's an important time. It's a time we ought to look forward to. But as far as the why we should do it, the Bible teaches us a lot about the work of God in us and what He's trying to do. And in one of my favorite passages of Scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible talks about the job of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into the image of Christ that we see in the Bible. And so that's the Holy Spirit's job. But He's only able to accomplish that job as we encounter Him in the Word. He's transforming us into the image of Christ that we see in the Scripture. And so we need to be familiar with what that image is. What are we looking at? Who is God? Who is Jesus? What is He like? How did He talk? What things were His passion? What things were His priority? And the only way we can begin to look like Him is that if we actually sit down with Him and learn. And so we learn in that passage. Jesus talked about in John 15 about the need to abide in the vine and remain in the vine. And the way a branch is to produce or to bear fruit that He produces in us is to remain attached consistently, constantly to the vine. So there are a lot of illustrations of that in the Bible where it's important for us to be with Him. So it's a big thing for us, and it's an important thing that we sit down with the Lord and sit down with Him often.
You know, that's one of the things I'm teaching my sons right now, incidentally, is that we're in a relationship with God. We have a relationship with Him. It's not that we're kind of checking off, you know, little things that we need to be doing, like, I've got to do this, I've got to spend this much time reading the Bible, I've got to, you know, accomplish this and pray these many hours or whatever. That's not what's going on. We're in a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And let me, I just kind of crossed my mind as you were talking about that. We're in a relationship with a holy God. And I'm wondering if, for some people, the idea that I'm going to sit down and get alone with the Creator of the world, who's holy, and I feel like a slug and sinful, I want to do it because I love God and I know Him, but I'm kind of scared to do that. You know, so how do we balance that, the holy, you know, relationship that we have with God as a creator of the world and the redeemer of us sinners, and at the same time, as Father, who's Abba, who really cares about us, wants to spend time.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we constantly feel that way. I mean, and in a sense, we should. In a sense, we should understand when we approach God that we're approaching a holy God, and we are not. We're not Him, and we're not perfect. We are sinful, and when we come to God, we have to bring that to Him too. So we don't just bring our, you know, our good stuff, you know, our best day even falls short of the glory of God. So we understand any time we come to God, we're still sinners, even on our best day.
Yeah.
So I think you're exactly right. Sometimes we feel guilty about even coming to God. I've had a bad day. I've had a bad week. I haven't, you know, I've made some boneheaded decisions. I've been dumb this week. I've said some things I shouldn't say. And so we come to God and we feel tremendously guilty. Well, I think the thing that we need to make sure that we're doing is to know that we can and should bring that guilt and sin to God. Mm-hmm. Not try to act like we're hiding it from Him or be so full of guilt that we feel like we need to run from Him, but to come into, like you said, the arms of our Father who loves us, wants to sit with us, who is ready to forgive and cleanse, and He does that. He's faithful and just to do that, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So we run to a God who is always faithful and just to forgive us. So we bring that sin to Him. And we realize we approach a holy God. We don't approach Him like any other person. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we can't approach Him that way, but we bring our sin to Him.
And I mean, you know, you've been around famous people. You've been around people that you respect and you've looked up to. And there's a kind of a nervousness about being, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to be, you know, act like an idiot or stuff. Right. And sometimes, you know, we might feel that way in being in God's presence. Like, I have the world's utmost respect for God. He is holy. And Jesus even taught us to pray, hallowed be thy name. You know, your name is regarded as holy. My sons and I were just talking about this the other day, that when you come into prayer, you're praying to God, it's appropriate to adore Him for who He is. God is holy. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be afraid of that in the sense that you're terrified that He's going to strike you dead, but you respect Him for the fact that He is pure.
It's a reverence kind of fear, not a scared to death kind of fear.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And being our Father, that's what He wants from us, is that we come into His presence. And I think about this illustrated with me when I was a child. You know, and I did something wrong, come into the room, see my dad. I knew when I did that I was fearful of my dad, but not in a bad way, in a healthy way. I just knew that I was accountable to my dad, but at the same time, I wasn't scared to death of him either. He loved me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a healthy kind of thing with God. We approach Him as Father who loves us, but at the same time, we are accountable. So we realize we reverence a holy God.
Yeah, that's good. So the why behind it is we're in a relationship with God who wants to have fellowship with us. And we feel this from our earliest moments of conversion, that we've been brought into the family of God, that He's our Father. And oftentimes, and here's the difficulty, and here's why this question is relevant right now, is because so often in the Christian life, the sphere of Christianity, people come to Christ, they're saved, and then nothing really happens. There's not a discipleship process.
Right.
There's not, you know, maybe an older Christian in the faith to come alongside them and say, hey, would you consider thinking about this is how you might grow in the Lord, and let me teach you how to read the Bible and pray and those kind of things. So we're dealing with somewhat of a vacuum in religious experience of people who love the Lord, who are saved, they believe the gospel of Jesus, and yet trying to find their way through, well, what does this look like? And so let's talk a little bit about the what. So we asked the why to do the quiet time. But the what? Let's talk about some of the content, if you know, for lack of a better word. What is it that we're looking at? What is it that we're doing in a quiet time?
Well, I read a study a long time ago, written by Calvin Miller. It's called A Hunger for the Holy. And he says at the beginning, sort of illustrating something to open that study, he says that to sit down with God is to see it like this. He says that there are, and I'm going to give part of a quote. He said, Christ's table is made elegant by its simplicity. It has but two chairs, two place cards, beside one place is a card that reads Jesus. By the other card is marked your name. A candle burns from the table center, ready to cast its amber enchantment on both your faces. And he says, across the years, I've come to understand that it's at that table where I meet with God. And it's a good illustration of saying, well, a quiet time is just that. It's sitting down with him one-on-one. He's listening to me. And I still, and I tell my folks all the time at church, that still boggles my mind how God can hear me and a thousand other people at the same time. And he hears me intimately, not just hears the words, but he's listening to me. And I get a chance to then intimately listen to him. So a quiet time is that. It's a sitting down with God, and it's giving us an opportunity to hear from him, speak through his word, and gives us an opportunity to talk to him about things that are on, that are on our heart. He knows all those things. He knows all the needs before we even know them, before we bring them to him. But out of obedience and out of love, and we come to him and we let him know those needs. So at least the quiet time should be for us a time seen as a very important time to sit down with him and to be able to talk with him and he with us.
To talk and to listen. I love that. So, you know, prayer is going to be part of the what. We're going to talk to God, and as Scripture says, be still and know that I'm God, you know, at some point. And so listening, I mean, that's an important thing that we need to talk about is, you know, how is God speaking? You know, and you kind of led earlier about, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to take the Word of God and is going to use that as for us like a mirror to translate us into the image of Christ. And I agree. And so as we listen to Scripture and read it, you know, God is speaking. You know, are we to expect God to speak, you know, in other ways, maybe that, you know, my son asked me, do you hear God talking to you? And I was like, well, not like you're talking to me, you know, and to which I said, if he wanted to do that, he could.
Sure.
I'm not going to hold that, you know, God's God, he can do what he wants to do. But here's, I mean, when I'm in the Bible and I'm reading an ancient text that the Spirit inspired, you know, thousands of years ago, guess what? God is speaking.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody said that when we read the book of Psalms, we find that we're reading somebody's diary. You know, basic. I mean, you know, we're reading a songbook of the ancient Israelites, but but I like the way he said that. You're reading somebody's diary. King David wrote over 70 of the Psalms, at least, something like that. And it's easy to see his heart in what he when he wrote. In his times alone with God, he wrote down feelings, his needs, his fears, his praises, his hurts, his honest desires, all that kind of stuff. And we see that in a number of the different Psalms. If you look at Psalm 119, the Word of God is central to the psalmist's time alone with God. Over and over and over, every verse, literally, is talking about how the Word of God is precious and how it's central to everything he knows about God. And he brings his hurts to God, and he sees God revealed to him there in the Scripture. And so on and on through the Bible, we see, you know, David recognizing that God's Word would bring about change in his life. And so he would read the Word. He recognized that God's Word was more precious than gold and silver and all that. So that's where God's going to speak to us. That's where God is going to reveal himself to us. And then as we read about him and he reveals himself to us, he will bear fruit of that knowledge as we go on through the day. So, you know, for instance, if we're reading A Quiet Time, for example, and we're, you know, I've told some people lately that if I read a verse in the Bible that talks about a lying tongue is an abomination to the Lord, you know, and that's why I read that in my quiet time. And I walk away from that going, wow, that's great. You know, I don't plan on lying today, you know, but that's great. But there's going to come a time, maybe that day, maybe a week later, where I'm tempted to lie. And then where God is going to bear fruit of that reading yesterday, a week ago, where he's going to remind me, we talked about this.
That's right.
A lying tongue is an abomination to the Lord. That's him speaking on the page in black and white.
That's right.
He has told me that. And it will bear fruit later, but that's the importance of spending time with him in the quiet time, is listening to him speak in his word. But, you know, prayer is not the only thing we do in quiet time. We pray, obviously, and some of us may think that's all we do in quiet time. We sit down and we pray. Prayer is part of it. We're praying, we're talking to God, but at the same time, we're listening. And that involves reading the Scripture.
Yes.
That's how we're going to listen to him. But a quiet time can involve other things like praise.
Yeah.
singing to him. I don't know, you know, I don't know if most people will. I know I do in my quiet time, not every time, but times I have a quiet time, you know, the Lord will just sort of give a, put a craving on my heart for a song that I've heard, you know, and I try to sing that back to him. Sometimes it's really bad, and sometimes it's not, it's off tune, and sometimes I don't get the words right, you know, but I, it's about lifting a song to the Lord, and he puts a song in your, in our mouth. And, and so it, sometimes we can do that in our prayer time, our quiet time, is to praise him, you know, which is a great part of quiet time.
I think it's awesome, man. I was in a coffee shop recently, and I was reading my Bible and kind of just trying to quiet my own heart and listen to scripture. And I had, I can't remember what radio station was playing on Pandora. And man, this song came on and it just hit me in the heart. And I was sitting there, my whole mind and heart were in praise to God, and I found myself lifting my hands in this. And I'm just wondering if anyone's looking around. What is this dude doing?
I couldn't help this nut.
I couldn't help but praise God because it was such a rich, you know, testimony to His Word, but what God had done for me in Christ and those kind of things, that it drove me to praise. And you know, the term quiet time might be a misnomer. Because I'm wondering if we think, well, what do you mean you can sing and you can praise in a quiet time? Aren't you supposed to be quiet? Well, we're trying to get ourselves in the right position to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, when you hear from the Lord and He meets you, you can't help but praise Him, and I think that's a great point.
Yes, exactly right. I was always told when I was younger, you know, you hear people say, you know, go into your closet and have time with the Lord. Well, when I was younger, I remember being a young teenager, and I took that literally. I mean, I heard somebody preach about that. You go into your prayer closet, and they talked about a prayer closet. I didn't know what a prayer closet was, but I wanted to have one. I wanted to have time with the Lord, so I went home as a young teenager. I remember I cleaned out my closet, man, in my bedroom, cleaned out my closet. Still had my clothes hanging up. I took everything out off the floor and everything. I went in there. I got shut the door. I like to suffocate it in there in the dark, you know, and I'm thinking, this is what a prayer closet is, you know, and that didn't last long. But you know, you hear things like that, and I know often people may not know exactly what we mean by quiet time. And it's not about going into a dark closet and, you know, suffocating and trying to spend time with the Lord. Sometimes it is quiet, very quiet. Sometimes it can be with, you know, with music. Sometimes it's with verbal prayer. I know
that's
sometimes in my quiet time, I verbalize my prayer. Say it out loud. I want to pray to God. I think better that way sometimes, but and I stay more focused that way. I found in my own quiet time, if I will pray out loud, I don't get distracted as easily.
That's right.
It's easy to become distracted in a quiet time. You know, the cares of the world still press in. You got noise. You got things around you going on, and all this kind of stuff. You got, if you got your phone with you, you got texts and emails and calls, and sometimes that's hard to do. But if we get alone with God, oftentimes I have found out in my own prayer time and my praise time that if I would do it verbally out loud, I don't get distracted near as much.
And a quiet time can happen in a noisy time. You know, Meredith and I were talking about this recently, and she said, you know, think about, for example, you know, the young mother who's got small kids, and it's a frenzy of activity all the time. And there's always something to do, and watch out for them. And, you know, you feel kind of guilty that you want to steal away some time and, you know, study your Bible or pray or whatever. You know, they can do that in the midst of that time, too.
Yeah.
I was reminded of Susanna Wesley, for example, mother, I think the mother of John and Charles Wesley, or maybe she was married to one of them, I can't remember. Anyways, they had a gaggle of kids, like a dozen or 15 kids, and it's said that she would put her apron over her head, and all the kids would be running around screaming, doing all this other kind of stuff, and she'd put the apron over her head and start praying. And the kids knew that Mama was, that was her prayer closet, man.
That's
She'd put that over her head and start praying.
Even
in the midst of so much noise and frenzy,
I love it.
She was stealing time to talk and listen to God.
I love it. And there are other things you can do in a quiet time. Intercession, where you're praying for other people. You're not just praying for the needs of yourself or your family, but you're interceding for others. That, what we mean by that is praying for somebody else, praying for somebody else's needs, you know, standing in the gap for somebody else, praying for a friend or a coworker or a family member, your church, or praying for the missionaries, praying for leaders, praying whatever. I mean, we have a long list of people that we could be praying for or circumstances. So that's one of the things that we can do in a quiet time is intercede for other people. One of the big things that we do should do in quiet time, because it's difficult, I guess, to do anywhere else other than a quiet time, is confession. You know, we don't find ourselves confessing much in the company of other people. It makes us look bad, we think, or we don't want to share our flaws with everybody else. But in a quiet time, we can really do that. Mm-hmm. We can get along with God, and we should confess our sins.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, I often say we need to make sure that we're specific about our confession, not just say, you know, Lord, about all that stuff I've done lately, I'm sorry, and then mm-hmm. try to move on. But really, get intimate with God and confess them.
Yeah,
He already knows all that stuff anyway. I mean, you didn't do it in private. You mm-hmm. did it in open before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So whatever sins you committed, confess them.
Yeah.
And the word confess simply means to say the same thing about it God says about it. So mm-hmm. as God is offended by it, you ought to be offended by it too. And so, mm-hmm. You know, confess your sins. And that has a way of helping us, you know, we sense a cleansing of the Lord as
yeah.
we do that, you know.
Amen.
So that's part of a quiet time.
Yeah, I think I'd also add, and this word is maybe not, it's not necessarily used in a lot of our circles, but meditation.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to sit around and you know, the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting about Buddhists and others who do that kind of, they're trying to empty themselves,
yeah.
empty their minds. That's not at all what we're trying to do.
No.
We're trying to fill our lives and our minds and our hearts with the Word of God.
Right.
With the Spirit's leading and direction, with the goodness of His fellowship and those kinds of things. And but to take a scripture, and I would recommend a book. It was written maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. Donald Whitney, How to Pray the Bible. And he, you know, he's like, listen, the Word of God, as you mentioned in the Psalms, is going to put before us a whole lot of ways in which we could pray through for our own lives, for other people, as you mentioned, stuff. That's right there in the biblical text. And you want to talk about confession and praise and those things, that wherever you are in the Bible, you can apply that to your life and say, Lord, would you take this? And I think mm-hmm. you're speaking to me, and it might be a little harder in the book of Numbers than it is in the book of Psalms or Philippians or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's doable. And
yeah.
the Word is going to be the platform from which most of what we hear from God and really give back to God is going to be tethered to that. The Word.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, the meditation that, as you were talking about earlier, that most people think about is that, you know, what they're trying to do is disengage
mm-hmm.
their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And but what we find in the Scripture is we have a need to engage our mind, engage our mind
right.
on the Scripture and on God, and not try to empty anything, but to really engage. So I like that. But one of the things that you said sort of begins to help us answer the next part, I guess, mm-hmm. that we need to get into is to sort of how,
yeah.
maybe how to have an effective quiet time. That's some of the practical things. And you talked about, you know, the possibility of using a book or resource. You talked about a book that you could use. What are some other, since we're talking about this, what are some other resources that you might have that or might recommend that people might use in their own quiet time as they're looking for resources?
Yeah.
You know, and the reason I say this is because it can be very discouraging
yeah.
to open up your Bible to the book of Numbers, like you said, or Leviticus, and try to have a quiet time, and you walk away from that having read half a chapter of stuff that you have no idea what that
yeah.
means, and you
yeah.
walk away going, I don't know what in the world I just accomplished.
Yeah.
And I know people that are listening to us right now have had that feeling. I've had that feeling.
Had
you know, I've walked away going, I don't
yep.
know what to do with that. Lord, I just don't know what you even mean right there. And and so I don't even know how to pray about that, so I'm just going to move on. You know, so there are times that, you know, we've had some discouraging times. But what I found out is if we can use some resources out there mm-hmm. that people mm-hmm. may guide us and help us go through our
yeah.
quiet time in a little bit, maybe an organized way where we can not discount passages in Numbers. I'm not trying
right.
to say that, or discount passages in Leviticus, but to find a resource that may help us. What are some of those resources that you think that might help?
Yeah, I love that. I just from my own life experience, I'll give two that I've personally found helpful and a fountain from which I can drink every year for the rest of my life. They're timeless, really. Mm-hmm. And one of those is a classic from a pastor in a former generation, Charles Spurgeon, his famous Morning and Evening. And so he has devotion in the morning and devotion in the night. And so if you're an early bird, go for it. If you're a night owl, go for it. If you want to do both, fine. But usually he takes a scripture and he will work through it, you know, briefly, and then give some application and really pull you mm. into the Word. And I've really enjoyed that since I was a baby Christian. It's been good.
I use that one, by the way. Yeah. That's one I'm using right now. This year, in 2017, I went back to, and I've used it before, a long time ago, but I've gone back to his mm-hmm. morning and evening. Really enjoyed it. Had rich. A great, great quiet time yesterday, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact, and in using his, and use sometimes what they write in their resources can sort of be, if nothing else, a diving board, jumping a platform. To do more than just what they say. You know, mm-hmm. Spurgeon mentions, like yesterday in his quiet time in the morning, was a phrase from mm-hmm. a verse. Mm-hmm. And that led me back to that verse, and I ended up reading the whole chapter
right.
in which the verse was found and really set the context for me. And then I read what he wrote, which made it make a little bit more sense. So sometimes yeah. it can be just a platform to jump off into other things, which yeah. can be good. But I liked
it
his
should
devotional.
Be. I love how you said that, a platform to get... Get maybe deeper in the Word if you have the time to do that. There's a new edition of that. Alistair Begg is an editor of a new, updated version of that, and so it's worth looking at.
So another one, the language you think maybe has changed a little bit
possibly,
in the new
yeah.
one. I don't know, because I know yeah. the older one, the language
yeah,
that Spurgeon
it's
uses,
archaic.
It's a little old, and so you know you have to get through some of that stuff.
Yeah,
but
that's
anyway.
Right. Today, you know, I picked up last year devotion by Paul Tripp. By the name of New Morning Mercies, and I think he's got 365 in there, and he takes a text and or an idea, and he goes right into a devotional thought, and he always ends with, you know, for further reading, read this passage of Scripture, which has been encouraging to me, so you get, kind of get the nugget of the day and then jump into the text, and it really reinforces itself. You know, you could use Sunday school material. You could use, you know, if you want a deeper kind of dive, if you're studying experiencing God or the mind of Christ or some, you know, Beth Moore study or whatever, let those resources be just that, be a resource to help you pray, to help you understand the Bible better, and to spend time with God who wants to spend time with you.
Yeah, I like that. I have used Oswald Chambers.
Yes.
My
mm-hmm.
Most First Heist. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Very good. You read
through that one. And in mine, I have a copy that has blanks out beside it so that I can write down some thoughts after I read what nice. He said. And so that's good. And there's all kinds of stuff out there like that. There's some good stuff. There's some stuff you probably might stay away from. Mm. We've talked about maybe a couple of those things in previous podcasts. But there's some really good resources out there like that. You can use some seasonal studies, things like that. Mm. There may be longer, more in-depth studies for your quiet time, you know, the old but still great classic Experiencing God,
yeah,
which is a great one to use. It's mm-hmm. it can be heavy, mm-hmm. but if you use it for a quiet time, you don't have to use it necessarily like they do, 13 right. weeks, and you're really, you know, you're digging really hard. Right. As a Bible study, you can use some of the material as a quiet time. You can use some other things like that. So you can mm-hmm. find a good study that's out there. I've even encouraged people to use their Sunday school material.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
at least in our churches, all of our Sunday school classes are... you know, they sit in class, they have a book, and a lot of them take it home with them, mm-hmm. Or they have the option to do that. Take it home with you and use it as your quiet time material. You
yeah.
know, you can do that. And yeah. Matter of fact, the good thing about that is you're going to have a quiet time in a particular passage of Scripture. You're going to show up the next Sunday, and your Sunday school teacher is going to teach on it,
yeah.
which is great. And you've already spent some time with the Lord on that subject. And, mm-hmm. and so, anyway, use some things like that. We have all kinds of things at Baptist Church, mm-hmm. Open Windows and Stand Firm. We've got a lot of books like yeah. that and that are out, Lifeway helps us with. And so, anyway. But there's a lot of different things you could use in a quiet time. I think our point would be to anybody, use something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do something. Get into the Word as much as possible.
Yeah.
Don't just say, well, I don't have a good resource, or I don't know what a good one is, and so I'm just not going to do anything.
Right.
If nothing else, go to the Gospels and just read a portion of the Gospels every day. If you don't have another resource or book, go to the Word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're trying to get you to, with whether you use another resource or not, go to the Scripture.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, that's good. That's why we do it, and kind of what's going on in there. Let's also talk about maybe some practical ways of how to do this. Let's talk, and I'll just throw one out there and let you bounce off it, and we can go from there. So everybody I've ever talked to about a quiet time usually involves a particular place in which they have it. Like for my wife, for example, she's sitting right there in the bed beside me, and she's spending time in the Word, spending time in the Lord. And so there's a place every single day that she's committed to, and she knows, hey, I'm going to have my quiet time here. That's not normally the case for me, but oftentimes that is You know, I usually try to steal time wherever I can, but for a lot of people, just setting aside a place is going to be really helpful. Alongside of that would be a time. You know, do you have a particular time? And I'm not necessarily talking about an amount of time, but you might want to jump in on that. But a particular time in which you study. For my wife, it's early in the morning. For me, it's mid-morning. Now, as a pastor, I can steal aside a little bit of time when I get in the office, and I can kind of stop everything and focus. But I'm a night owl, too, and I have found that at nights, man, it's just as good for me to reflect upon the day and get into Scripture, and it also leads me to pray at the end of the day, even though I've been meeting with the Lord and praying all day long. But a lot of people like to start the day in a quiet time. But some people say, you know, I can't, so much is happening so much in the morning, I can't do it, and I feel guilty.
Yeah.
But at night, I've got time. Is that okay?
Yeah, and I would say, I take a position where I have a little bit more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I've known people that say, well, if you don't get up 2 hours early in the morning, you're not making a sacrifice to the Lord, mm-hmm. and you're not as strong of a Christian as everybody else that is. Mm-hmm. I just don't take that, you know, I don't take that view. I think there's enough in the Bible that tells us where David says, I get up early in the morning, you know, his mercy is new every morning. And so we talk about that. And I think there's obvious advantage to having a quiet time in the morning. You can start your day off on the right foot. You have an outlook for the day. But I'm a night owl, too. You know, it's common for me. Most nights, I'm up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I have found that that's when I seem to operate better. I'm more focused at night than I am. I think school did that to me, mm-hmm. Gave me that habit. But I'm just more focused at night most of the time. Now, I have quiet time in the morning. Like you said, as a pastor, I can do that here in the office and spend time with the Lord. But at night, I seem to be more focused. So if you're that way, and there's a lot of people who work different shifts, you know, they work third shift, and boy, they're having to figure out time they can spend with the Lord before they go to work. And some mm-hmm. of them are trying to put kids into bed before they get to work. And, you know, yep. and so it's different cases for everybody. I think the point really is to make sure you find some time to do it.
Yeah.
And it helps if it's consistent.
That's right.
You know, sometimes we have to bounce around and do different times because of schedules, but it helps if it is consistent. So find a time.
And, you know, when I was in seminary, working on my master's degree, I was working a job where I would travel, and I'd have about 30 to 45 minutes in the car. And I found, I already mentioned Alistair Begg, his preaching, you know, Truth mm-hmm. for Life, right. It would come on during the time mm-hmm. that I would be driving. And that 30 minutes for me became, you know, I was listening essentially to him preaching, but I was taking in the Word. It was spurring me on to pray to God, I think, and I would mm-hmm. chew on that the rest of the day, even when I didn't feel like I had time specifically for myself to sit down in the Word. That was a consistent opportunity for God to feed me and speak to me, even in the car on a commute. And a lot of our people do commute
they
back
do.
And forth, and,
yeah,
and that might be an option.
Absolutely. That's a great option. I'll give you just a practical thing that I've used a number of times in the past and still do occasionally. It's a model that was given to me, or I read about years and years and years ago. It's an ACTS model, A-C-T-S, and some people use this, mm-hmm. but it just stands for some, you know, each letter stands for something different. It just sort of walks you through a quiet time. A would be A of the word acts would be adoration. Mm-hmm. Spend time adoring God, praising Him, thanking Him, you know, mm-hmm. or thanking Him for who He is, not necessarily for what He's done.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that helps to have the Scripture open in front of us and really pray that Scripture back to the Lord. Lord, mm-hmm. you know, you say of yourself that you are mighty and that you're the Lord of lords and King of kings. And so that's a way of adoring Him, praying some of those Scriptures right back to Him. The C would be confession,
yeah.
spending time confessing your sins. The T would be thanksgiving, where we actually mm-hmm. give thanksgiving to the Lord for the things that He's done in our life, particularly for saving us, for the blessings of life, protection, and all those kinds of things.
Right.
And we have a long list of those. And the S would be supplication, where we actually pray for somebody else. We mm-hmm. we mention a host of other needs that we have in our own life, and then pray for somebody else too. And so mm-hmm. somebody has used that model for a long time. I have used it for a long time occasionally, mm-hmm. and that'll just help me sort of stay on track. As
yeah.
I said earlier, it can be easy to get distracted and having a quiet time, at least an outline just sort of, and I just think better that way, and it helps me not get so distracted.
Is there a sweet spot, and maybe this is person specific, but is there a sweet spot for, you know, amount of time, you know, you spend, you know, are we looking at, because a lot of people think, man, if I could just get 5 minutes,
yeah,
you know, praying, adoring God and confessing some sin, and And maybe that's a stretch for them, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But maybe somebody says, well, you know, I can do 30. I mean, I won't pray the whole time, but I can read the Bible and I'll maybe journal. I mean, we didn't really talk much about that, but you mentioned writing some thoughts down in your devotional or maybe in your Bible stuff or in a journal. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess maybe another point that's kind of coming up in this particular issue is, you know, we're not slaves, you know, to a legalism that I've got to do this and I've got to do this much time and these kind of things. Because we're in a real relationship with God.
Yeah, don't let somebody choke you into thinking that if you can't spend an hour with God, then you're just not where you need to be. I mean, I've known a lot of Christians, and I was there once myself, where 5 minutes was tough. I'm thinking, what do I do for 5 minutes? You know, I can't come up with something to do for five. I can't talk to God for 5 minutes, but I have figured this out. The more I do spend time with Him, the more I can spend time with Him.
Yeah.
The more time I can feel. I mean, I realize now, as I've grown as a Christian, there are times that I only get 5 minutes. Even as a pastor, there's sometimes I get that 5 minutes and I got to hit it for 5 minutes. But there's sometimes I can sit down and go, I got 10 minutes and I can really, and boy, I bang it out for 10 minutes and I'm spending time with the Lord and I look up and it's been 45.
Right.
Because boy, he's been speaking to me. I've been speaking to Him. And so, but I found out that the more I do it, the more I get used to that time with the Lord, the more I find out I want to do it.
That's right.
And you'll find that time will fly. So I guess the part of the point we're making is just spend some time with the Lord.
Yeah.
If you're a new Christian, start with that 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If you've been a Christian for a year, you start somewhere. Set a goal for yourself, 10 minutes. I'm going to spend 10 minutes with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that time will grow. It will grow as you grow.
It will.
So don't let somebody box you in to say, well, if you don't spend an hour with the Lord or 3 hours with the Lord, then you're just not as much of a Christian. Mm-hmm. Well, that's egotistical. I mean, that's for some people, that's okay. For some people, they've got the 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't. So take the time that you've got. That time will grow, and then you'll begin to carve out other time where in the past you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Now that'll grow.
I love that, man. You know, because, and again, this is a real relationship with a real Father who loves us, that wants to spend time with us. And, you know, there are, as we've been talking about this whole time, there are avenues to help us to do that. It's the Word, it's prayer, you know. And I even thought as you were talking that, you know, memorizing scripture. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, maybe you find a scripture. And for what I did for a long time was I would write it down on a 3x5 card. And when I was driving, I would say it out loud over and over and over again as I'm driving, trying to pay attention while I'm driving, but, you know, have the card with me. And, you know, you can really get God's word in your life and, man, you'll start thinking of other things related to the word and somebody will come into your mind. You'll start praying for that person. And guess what? You just had a quiet time.
That's exactly right.
And you didn't plan on it, but you did.
And that's a great idea. That's a great, find some ways to do that. Find some creative ways to get time carved out in your day with the Lord. Some people do it on their lunch break. You know, they got a lunch break. They know they're going to have, you know, 30 minutes in their car to eating lunch by themselves and it's quiet. Take that 30 minutes at lunch. But find some time. And I think the more you do that, the more you'll find time to carve out and spend more time with Him a little bit later. I know we've got to wrap up our time. It's flown by already, but let me wrap it up with a few final thoughts on the quiet time. And it's just some things I want to share with those who are listening. First of all, be committed to spending time with Him. If you're not doing it right now, you need to realize that living life without direction and leadership and communication with God is sin, and we need to be obedient and we need to get along with God. So be committed to spending time with Him. Secondly, the Word of God, make that central in your quiet time. Mm-hmm. I've known some people to say, well, my way of worshiping is with music. Mm-hmm. That's great. Music is great. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but make sure that the Word is central to your quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where God is going to reveal Himself. He's going to speak through His Word, and we need to be ready to listen. Third thing, don't get discouraged if you haven't been consistent in the past.
Right.
A lot of people say, man, I just don't even know where to pick up. I it's been so long since I've had a quiet time. We're inconsistent creatures. That's going to be the same for all of us. But don't use that as an excuse. It's true, but don't use it as an excuse. And so if you've been inconsistent in the past, don't worry about it. Move on past the things in the past and start today having that quiet time.
That's right.
Start today. Don't worry about yesterday. And then the last thing maybe is in order to have a quiet time that's effective, you need to be convinced that time alone with God will cause you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You will grow. If you want to grow, you will if you'll spend time with Him.
Mm-hmm.
So Those are just some final thoughts. I know we need to wrap up, but let's finish our podcast with a segment that we like to do at the end. Sometimes we change it up, but today let's do a segment called "Did You Know?"
Great.
All right. Okay. So we talk about something that may be off topic, and I have a feeling I know mine's off topic.
Yeah, mine too.
And but I got a cool thing though. This came from my youngest son Timothy, which was a couple of weeks ago. He was sitting eating breakfast before school, and I poured him a bowl of cereal, poured him some milk. And he looked at the gallon milk jug, and he said, "Daddy, what's that big circle on the jug? The big circle with the dent in it."
Yeah.
I said, "Dude, I don't have a clue what that is." I was trying to come up with something to answer him like a dad that knows it all, you know. And I said, "Man, I don't know what that is. I thought maybe that's how they stack it. I didn't know." So I Googled that dude after they left and went to school. I Googled. I found out, did you know that that round circle indention on a gallon jug of milk is so that if you were to drop it, the cap won't pop off.
Hmm.
Instead, the indention will pop out and give room for it to do that. So instead of popping the cap off and spilling all your milk, that's why they put that there.
I've seen that little thing popped out, too. Somebody dropped that milk.
That's why they do that. That's an indication maybe that somebody dropped it, but the cap didn't pop off.
I did not know that, man.
I Googled it. I called him on the road. He was headed to school. I said, "Dude, I figured it out." He was so excited. So was I. So anyway,
That's awesome. Man, that's great.
All right, what do you got?
Well, did you know that the first Burger King came in Miami, Florida in 1954? Why is that relevant? Well,
I don't know.
Because in 2017, a Burger King just came to Ripley, Mississippi.
Really?
And yeah. So we just got a Burger King. And we're all in love with it. And man, you know, you can smell those flamborough patties all over town getting grilled up. And they had these jalapeno chicken fries that they've already discontinued, incidentally.
What?
But yeah, I love Burger King. Always have.
Too.
And we just got one. But it made me think, well, when was the first one? Because McDonald's been around a long time.
Yeah, true.
So as Burger King, it has 1954, Miami, Florida. That's where it started.
I did not know that. I didn't know it was that old. Man, it is good. I love me some Burger King. Give me a Whopper, man.
Yeah.
I can handle me a Whopper. Well, anyway, we've got to close, but thank you for being with us today on the Gospel Reign podcast. I want you to join us next week. We are going to have some conversation about something that is very important to us as Christians. It's the thing that is relevant right now in our culture and has been for a long time, whether you know it or not, but it's a discussion on angels and demons. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll do that next week. Thanks for joining us today on Gospel Reign.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Reign podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelreign.com.